Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud.
I want to share with you an email that I just received from a listener regarding schools, and I'm talking about K through 12. I'm not talking about the universities. It's a short email, but it's very direct and to the point. She's talking about her granddaughter. She has been back in the schoolroom 1 week, and she has quickly been brainwashed and twisted into a BLM Marxist. American literature class is now about reading BLM ex-slaves writings, where the teacher, instead of teaching anything about the elements of literature or correcting English, says that she now allows the class to have a debate as to whether or not the author really means what she says, or is she afraid of whites shutting her down. It's unbelievable that the 11th grader is telling us about this class. The teacher, instead of teaching how to read, write, correct grammar and spelling, is teaching the students how to hate. I was attacked, this is the grandmother, because I am not, in the teacher's view, doing anything to help the poor, unfortunate blacks here or anywhere. The white teacher is a racist. She preaches white privilege. The details of what we are told is worse than anything you can imagine. A lovely, talented young student is now turned into an angry, hateful future voter who is being taught to vote for reparations as directed by her Marxist teacher. No, I do not know this teacher's name yet, but I will find out and let other parents know about what's going on in this hateful classroom in Florida. Additionally, the teacher is preaching that all the deaths in Florida are the fault of our current governor, who is not helping us stay safe. Also, this Flagler County Palm Coast High School teacher is teaching that we are not a republic, we are a democracy. We have, in Flagler County, the first Friday at the beach. Teachers and students were asking for donations for a project. I asked several students if they could answer a question correctly that I would donate. And the question was, are we a democracy or a republic? Then when they all chimed in that we are a democracy, I asked them to say the pledge. Just like I've been telling you, everyone, ask them to say the pledge. When they got to the word for the republic, they said, oh. But then two teachers angrily chimed at me and told me that they are told by the state, now that would be the state of Florida, to teach that we are a democracy and that they are following state guidelines. I did not donate. My granddaughter then asked, when I asked her this question, attacked me and told me that the pledge needs to be changed because the teachers are telling her we are a democracy. I am wrong, she said. And she is now brainwashed at age 17. Folks, if you don't pay attention to what's going on in your school, where do you think we are going to be in another 4 years? You're listening to Karen Schoen, and this is the prism of America's education. And when it comes to that kind of question, I have invited a wonderful guest that I know that we will all enjoy everything. Well, not maybe enjoy it, because Michael tells the truth and the truth hurts, but it is the truth, and that's what's really important. Michael Cutler is an author. He is on the radio. He has been involved in immigration for many, many, many years, knows it in and out, and has testified to every legislative body that you can imagine. I feel that Michael's addition to this show can open up our eyes, and we will be able to see the depth of this corruption. Thank you so much, Michael, for joining me today. I appreciate it and appreciate all of the writing that you are doing. This is absolutely incredible. Welcome to the show. I have a question for you, and that involves the elementary school. How important do you feel that the elementary schools need to be looked at, because everyone focuses on the university, and I think we're missing a big spot when we eliminate looking at what's going on in our elementary schools? What would you think about that?
We need to look at both. You know, I minored in education. I had a wacky educational background. I was originally an engineering major, and I lost my parents when I was in college to cancer, and really hammered the point of how precious life is and why we need to be kind to each other. You know, one of my favorite bumper stickers reads, be kind to the people you meet. You don't know the battles they're fighting. Two of my kids, though, are engineers, so they're living my dream. But I wound up with a degree in communications, arts, and science, as I call it, my BA in BS. I was on the school and college debating teams. I was undefeated. I was very proud of that. I couldn't play sports, but I learned how to debate effectively. I was going to teach debate on the college level, and then I had the opportunity to become a federal agent, and my career went in a different direction than I had expected. But really, I don't think anybody should be able to get a diploma or a degree without spending at least a full year as an active participant on a debating team, because that's where you learn to ask the questions, to do your research, to understand that there's more than one side to any argument. You know, the old joke that in a divorce, there's actually three sides, his, hers, and the truth. And so really important to be able to learn to ask the right questions, which, by the way, seems to be out of fashion today among our so-called educators. And let's remember what Voltaire said, you judge a person's intelligence by the questions they ask. Sadly, question asking, which is a vital skill, and it's an inherent part of the quest for knowledge and the study of science, all sciences, is being shut down. And in fact, I wrote a piece about that for Front Page magazine. I do a ton of writing for Front Page, very proud of my relationship with the David Horowitz Freedom Center that sponsors Front Page. And I wrote a piece about the science Nazis, which I hope we'll get into a little bit. But the idea is we are told what science to believe, what science to disbelieve. And if, God forbid, you disagree with any theory that we're told is the sanction theory, then characters like Bill Nye will accuse you of being a flat earther, believe it or not. This is a very dangerous trend. It should start in public school, the idea of asking questions and observing and determining truth for yourself through observation, testing, experimentation. And it should last you a lifetime. You know, my background in science has been very helpful. I loved astronomy beginning in third grade, started teaching myself astronomy, and that was important because it taught me how to wrap my brain around concepts that might be difficult to understand.
But so, Michael,
analogies and scale and so forth, that's being discouraged today.
I was just going to say, but Michael, we're only taught that you're only allowed to have one point of view.
That's
science,
right.
You can't have opposition. How dare you? How dare you say hydroxychloroquine might work when we know it works because the opponents say it doesn't work? That's not science. And you hit upon something really important, and that is called the truth.
Yep.
And we have to get back to the truth, because right now the truth in America is irrelevant.
Well, you know, so why don't we just for a moment dip into that article that I did for Front Page about the Nazi scientists, or the science Nazis, rather. And, you know, I'm Jewish. My family was hammered during the Holocaust. I was named for my mother's mother, who could not get out of Poland and was slaughtered because of our religion. I was named for her. My first wife's parents were in concentration camps. And when I, over dinner, asked my mother-in-law, my first wife passed away many years ago, also of the cancer, terrible disease. And by the way, when I had cancer 20 years ago, the first thing that my doctor told me, and he was an incredible doctor, chairman of the Department of Urology at a major hospital, he helped to devise the PSA test. And he said, Mr. Cutler, I believe I could save your life, but I am not going to agree to do surgery until you do something. And I was sitting there rattled by what I had just heard and very concerned, obviously. And I said, well, what do you want me to do, doc? He said, I want you to get at least one additional second opinion. He said, Doctors can get it wrong, myself included. Before I agree to operate on you, which he eventually did, and he saved my life, I had a very aggressive form of cancer. But he said, before I agree to do your surgery, you're going to come back to me and tell me who you spoke. Think about that. He said, this will not be an affront to me. This will not be an embarrassment to me. I won't be offended. You need to get a second and maybe even a third opinion. We're talking about your life. The stakes could not be higher. You need to do your homework so that when we do the surgery, if you decide you want me, you know that you are making the right decision. Think about that. This wasn't some minor doctor. This guy was the chairman or the assistant chairman of the Department of Urology at the School for Surgeons. This guy's a heavy hitter, but he was not going to do my surgery till I got a second opinion. Today, there are no second opinions. Whether the issue is COVID, whether the issue is climate change, you are told what to believe. If you don't do it, you will be attacked. You will be ridiculed. You will really fall under a barrage. God forbid you challenge anything. And that's extremely dangerous. And, you know, what started me writing this article about the science Nazis, the actual title of the article, if I could bring it up, science Nazis demand obedience to their political agenda.
And you said a mouthful, because that is what we are seeing today. Since when is there only one opinion in science?
Well, and you know, when you hear about the theory of the Big Bang theory, it's not the Big Bang fact, it's the Big Bang theory. Most of what we believe is accurate are theories. And you know, the Hubble Space Telescope, we take it for granted, but before it was launched, we had no idea about the cosmos. We suddenly discovered the scope of the universe. It took Hubble, by the way, Edwin Hubble, to figure out that the universe was expanding. It took Albert Einstein to come to an understanding about gravity and space-time. Now, here's what's remarkable. I love watching documentaries. A couple of months ago, I saw a documentary about Albert Einstein and Stephen Hawking. Now, what was interesting about Einstein, we all know that he was forced to flee Germany because of the Nazi bastards. But I never knew that they actually attacked, quote unquote, his Jewish science. Now, this is amazing.
Wow.
Because it turned out that the Nazis came up with two Nobel-winning physicists who attacked Einstein, ridiculed him for being a Jew, ridiculed him for studying Jewish science. And what did they ridicule him for? His theories on space-time and relativity. Just stop and think. Let that sink in. And they organized near riots anytime he showed up anywhere. They followed him with signs and chanting and screaming right out of the pages of Antifa. And it got so bad that he felt that if he didn't flee Germany, they would kill him. They were attacking other Jewish scientists also who had to flee. The funny thing is, historians looking back said that Hitler doomed the Third Reich, thankfully, by killing off or forcing the Jews who were the brain trust of Germany to flee the country.
Isn't that something that communists, they always do that? They always get rid of the intelligent people because they feel they know too much and can pinpoint and actually have an independent opinion and thought?
Yes, they find in questioning a threat to their ability to control the masses. This isn't about succeeding. This isn't about progress. And we've got to stop calling progressives progressives. They're regressives. You know, it's a very dangerous thing that we call them progressives. I remember when I was a kid, the GE company used to have the slogan at General Electric, progress is our most important product. I'm sure you remember it.
Yes, I do. I remember that very well.
All right. So now here's the point. Everyone looks forward to the future. I remember as a kid, very excited to watch Walt Disney at 8 o'clock on Sunday nights, because I always hoped that they would have Tomorrowland. And they had Wernher von Braun come on. My dream was to be an aerospace engineer. I got to meet some of the astronauts. I did a little single engine flying as a kid. That was my original dream. I've been enthralled with the space program. I've been blessed to be able to meet astronauts. And I went down to the Cape and saw the last moon launch, which was a nighttime launch. Very exciting. Never forget it. But the point was, we would always look to tomorrow with flying cars and trips to the moon and curing cancer and all the magic that our scientists could come up with and our engineers could build, because that's exciting. So when you say progressive, everyone says, wow, they're looking towards the future. What's progressive about people that are calling for segregation, but for a different purpose? Think about that.
We're going backwards instead of forwards.
Progressive, just like I got people to stop saying political correctness. The term political correctness conveys a sense of fairness and empathy, right? No, yes. It's Orwellian newspeak. Eliminate the words. You eliminate the words that the thoughts that the words represent. This is about thought control. You control thoughts through the control of language. I'm very relieved that I very rarely hear people talk about being politically correct today, and more people are talking about Orwellian newspeak. These are important things that we all need to do when we're having discussions with our neighbors. We also need to understand when we speak to our neighbors, this goes back to my background in debate, that you have to try to develop empathy. And instead of ridiculing and saying, what's wrong with my idiot neighbor or my idiot brother or my dumb son? Why don't you try to understand what is happening and why it's happening? First of all, it goes back to your point about schools. In fact, I had a high school English teacher who was a self-avowed communist, and she made it clear that if you agreed with her in 10th grade, and I'm over 70 now, this was the beginnings of this madness. It was during the Cuban Missile Crisis. And she defined Fidel Castro as a freedom fighter opposing a tyrannical, imperialist, dirtbag country called the United States of America, which offended me beyond words. And the first time I stood up to her, she ate my lunch. I mean, it was ugly. She was very skilled. And it was kind of like going into a gunfight with bare knuckles. I didn't even have a knife. But I realized what she was doing. I was only 14 years old, but immediately I saw what she was doing. Because I started to go to the library and research everything. She would take quotes out of context. She would flip statistics sideways. You know, figures don't lie, but liars can figure. And I came back to class a couple of months after I did all my homework, and she told me to sit down because I stood up in the back of the room and told her that she was teaching off syllabus. We're supposed to be learning Mark Twain, and you're talking about Karl Marx. I don't think that works. And then I told her she was a liar, and she threatened to take me to the principal's office, and I said, you're not going to do that. And you could have heard a pin drop in the classroom. My classmates looked at me as though I was nuts, and I said, you're going to take me to the principal's office and explain why you're teaching off syllabus? Let's go.
Well, unfortunately, today we need a lot more Michael Cutlers and Karen Schoens in school.
It has to start with the question.
Yes.
And the first thing you need to do is ask yourself, why would someone say what they're saying? You see? And we have to resist the pressure because that teacher standing in front of the classroom has an awful lot of influence. They have the report card over your head. And they are the ultimate authority figure. And our parents taught us, when you're in class, behave yourself, be respectful, listen to what your teacher tells you.
Exactly.
And then you find out that the teacher is using that the manners you've inculcated in your child as a weapon against not only your child and you, but against our very nation. So we need to be mindful that people don't always tell us the truth. And you have to look to what motivation might be behind the things that they're saying to you.
And also, there's only one version of the truth.
That's
remember that. This is what Bond.
Beginning of an interview. Let's get to the truth because there's only one version.
That's right. I remember when I first started doing seminars and I was speaking, and a woman said to me, "Well, this is the same thing that I heard the month before, only you're giving it additional information. Why are you telling us the same thing?" And I said, "Because it's the truth, and there's only one version of the truth. And once you know the truth, you can't unlearn it." Our kids are being turned into activist, radical, American-hating voters. And what's going to happen to this country if we do not correct what's going on in the school? And I hate the term, we want to give them school choice, because school choice is meaningless. It doesn't matter where a child learns communism. They could learn it in a closet. So the location of the building of learning has nothing to do with actual learning. We have to pay attention to what's going on in our schools. Hold that thought, folks. This is Karen Schoen, and we will be right back.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled, seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue, Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Karen Schoen and my guest, Michael Cutler, and you are listening to The Prism of America's Education. And boy, nothing is more clear today than what is going on in our schools. Folks, we have, in many states, there are actual laws against teaching communism. It would behoove you to go and look up in your state. I know in Florida, everyone can go and look up statute 876.01, which criminalizes communism. And to answer your point, Mike, I don't believe in calling them progressives anymore. I don't care what they are, socialists, authoritarians. To me, they are all communists because all roads lead to communism.
Communism and fascism. And fascism.
And fascism, exactly. And it's interesting how they try to say, well, the right is fascist. I asked them to explain what fascism means and explain how the right is advocating that. They never have an answer. And that's part of our problem. We need to make them answer questions, just like the listener did with her granddaughter saying, recite the Pledge of Allegiance, something very vanilla, nothing to fight about. And what does it say right in there? Who are we pledging to? We're pledging to the Republic. How can you be pledging to a republic if we're being taught that this is a democracy? And there is a huge difference between both. And now we come to, heaven forbid, President-elect Biden, and what is he going to do to this country? Mike, I know that you have been involved in immigration for a very long time. Maybe you can explain the DACA ruling. And
so I want to talk about DACA, and I also want to talk about his notion of legalizing 11 million illegal aliens. These are two issues that the media is not telling you the truth about. And the implications is nothing less than the absolute destruction of the United States as we know it. And this isn't about xenophobia, okay? And let's be real clear. This is part of the bag of tricks that the other side uses, the globalists. And by the way, you can find globalists on both sides of the aisle. This is about a level of unbridled greed that we've never seen before in the history of the United States. Some of these characters make the robber barons of the 1800s look like Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts, seriously. But, you know, I just want to, before we walk away from that other topic that we started with, I want everyone to check out a website. It's newamerica.org, O-R-G, New America, one word, newamerica.org. Look at the people that are involved. These are people in powerful positions. And if you look at their positions, talking about the absolute right that illegal aliens have when they come into a country, and it goes on and on. It covers the entire spectrum of activities within a country. It's well organized. It's obviously very slick, well-funded, very well thought out. Never underestimate your adversaries. Be very clear about that. Never underestimate your adversaries. And it starts with the use of language. For immigration, it started with Jimmy Carter. when Jimmy Carter instructed immigration employees, and just quick thumbnail, I was with the INS for about 30 years. I began my career back in 1971 as an immigration inspector, did that job for 4 years. When I helped Arizona with the lawsuit filed by the Obama Justice Department over their immigration law, SB 1070, I described my 4 year stint as an inspector at the airport as the time that I had my eye to the peephole on America's front door. During the 4 years, I spent 1 year assigned as an adjudicator doing the marriage interviews like you've seen on television. Immigration fraud is not a joke. It's not comedy. It's the key method of entry and embedding for terrorists, fugitive, and gang members and cartel members. Very critical. In fact, I like to tell people, and I do lots of speaking engagements where I work with the Speakers Bureau. They do seminars for the military and the intelligence services. And just a couple of weeks ago, in fact, I ventured down to Virginia, even with COVID, to address a room filled with Air Force generals. And I describe what immigration enforcement is as a continuum of what the armed forces do. Think about it. All five branches of our armed forces have a common mission, and that's to keep the enemies of America as far from our shores as possible. But up close and in person, the baton gets passed to first the Border Patrol, the inspectors at ports of entry, and then the ICE agents, Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents, who are supposed to enforce the immigration laws from within the interior of the United States. Think about that. There's nothing in our laws about race, religion, or ethnicity. If we made such distinctions, I could not have enforced those laws for 30 seconds, let alone 30 years. I've testified before 17 congressional hearings in the House and Senate. I was called by the Democrats as well as the Republicans. Jackson Lee called me, if you remember the case, where it was discovered 6 months after 9/11 that two of the dead terrorists, including the ringleader, Mohammed Atta, were granted authorization to, of all things, attend flight school 6 months after the attack. So by then, the world knew two things. They were terrorists and they were dead. We were that incompetent. It was Sheila Jackson Lee, Democrat, and backed up by Jim Sensenbrenner, chairman of the judiciary, who was a Republican. They invited me to testify at that hearing. And so I also provided testimony to the 9/11 Commission. The second largest contingent of agents who were assigned to the Joint Terrorism Task Force and point of fact are immigration agents. I spent 10 years as a senior special agent assigned to the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force. There is a clear nexus between alien smuggling, drug smuggling, terrorism, and funding gangs. Okay? It doesn't get more serious than that. And so you have sanctuary cities, which violate the findings of the 9/11 Commission, which found the lack of interior enforcement was a major factor in the ability of the terrorists to embed themselves in our communities. They used a total of over 300 fake aliases or variations of fake aliases as an embedding tactic. Visa fraud was another big issue. It's not just the Mexican border. I call it the immigration colander. We're a country of 50 border states. You know, when you think of the old war movies, you think about these commandos in battle gear with their rifles and grease paint on their face to cover up their faces. And they're about to jump out of an airplane in the dead of night to get behind enemy lines. We've all seen those scenes. They're kind of cliche. Well, let me tell you, the bad guys are still coming in airplanes. They're not parachuting in the dead of night. They're arriving at airport terminals around the country and strolling through the terminals, jumping into a car and disappearing into our societies. That's how sleeper agents operate. We also know that Iran, this is through congressional hearing after hearing after hearing, that Iran has a huge footprint in Latin America, Hezbollah, Hamas, the Quds forces, their shock troops working in close coordination with the drug traffickers and human traffickers to move narcotics into the United States to do harm to Americans, and is a major source of funding for terrorism. A recent report shows that China is replacing Latin America as the primary movers of drug money. The Mexican cartels, the Colombian cartels are going to the Chinese, and they're laundering the drug money. So they're making money and killing Americans at the same time. Think about meth, think about fentanyl. Fentanyl primarily coming out of China. President Trump, the first president to stand up to China since Richard Nixon, who opened China up to the West, for what purpose? So they could sell more Pepsi or more Chevrolet trucks? I mean, think about what we've done to ourselves. And when people tell me the immigration system is broken, it's not. It's a delivery system, and it's more effective than UPS or FedEx combined. It delivers an unlimited supply of cheap labor. There's no compassion in exploitation. An unlimited number of foreign tourists, Reagan gave us the visa waiver program, which undermines our security, an unlimited number of students. And we've educated millions probably by now, Chinese programmers and engineers. They're building their military on our technology. And finally, and this is the real issue, an unlimited supply of clients for immigration law firms. And you have lawyers that practice immigration law on both sides of the aisle. Zoe Lofgren, who now chairs the House Immigration Subcommittee, is an immigration lawyer. If I'm not mistaken, at one point, she was the president of AILA, the American Immigration Lawyers Association. A couple of years ago, Bob Goodlatte, Republican, was the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee that oversees immigration. Bob Goodlatte made his fortune by as an immigration lawyer practicing H-1B law. And when I had an argument with him about it, he told me how his son would love to have thousands and thousands of brilliant Indian programmers come to America. Well, my first wife, who died over 30 years ago, was a brilliant programmer, a Phi Beta Kappa graduate, MBA computer science. Most of her American colleagues had comparable credentials. I looked up Bob Goodlatte's son. Look up Bobby, you'll see it. Bobby Goodlatte got to start with Zuckerberg at Facebook. So understand the problem. And Jimmy Carter started the madness when he told immigration employees you can no longer use the term illegal alien to describe illegal aliens. Now, the term alien is not a pejorative the way we've been told it is. The term alien simply means any person, not a citizen or national of the United States. There. It's like me saying, you're a good friend, but you're not a member of my family. Is that an insult or a statement of fact?
Absolutely not. It is not an insult. And we should use the legal words and stop allowing anybody to maneuver us off of those terms.
But here's the point, and because I want to get to your question. But please understand how critical this was. And it was Carter who said, we're not going to arrest illegal aliens during the census. Why? It was gerrymandering. If you count the illegals, most of the illegals lived in Democrat liberal strongholds. They're not liberal, by the way. They're anything but liberal. But they're living in those strongholds. And this is how you get more seats in the House and more votes in the Electoral College. And that's why President Trump is trying to get the Supreme Court to agree to only count American citizens for the census to end this mess.
Imagine now we are living in a time where it doesn't count whether or not you're an American citizen. Do you think, I think, Biden will, God forbid he becomes president, will just open the floodgates and it won't make any difference anymore?
So let's talk about Biden, well, because I know we are on limited time. We're being told there's 11 million illegal aliens who would gain lawful status. And that's why I wrote another article for Front Page Magazine. Biden's Build Back Better is bunk. I thought I would go for the letter B. Here's the deal. We're all being told 11 million. First of all, we believe there's probably 25 to 30 million. I think even that's a low number. But even liberal universities believe there's now probably 25 million illegals here. So everyone says, well, we're going to legalize them. We'll know who they are. We'll get them out of the shadows. We're not going to get them out of the shadows. No. This is a way to get them into the waiting room of law firm offices. If you want to get them out of the shadows, you need to hire more agents to look for them because the bad guys are going to stay in the shadows. Interior enforcement has always been purposely underfunded. We only have 6,000 ICE agents for the entire country. Maybe, if we're lucky, a third of the time they're doing immigration work. So that really means we have 2,000 immigration agents. And what do they do? Well, they're on the Joint Terrorism Task Force. They're on the Drug Task Force. They're supposed to investigate immigration fraud. They're supposed to go after criminal aliens. If they're deported, they come back, they're committing a felony. In fact, I worked with Al D'Amato to create that law, which makes it a 20-year maximum felony. Under President Trump, the most frequently prosecuted crime, over 25,000 such criminal aliens were prosecuted last year. They're also supposed to go after crooked employers and crooked law firms. Crooked lawyers in Congress don't want immigration agents investigating crooked employers or crooked lawyers. So
this very, very, very deep cycle, a deep circle. And you said something very, very important before, Mike, and that is that everything is connected. We hear about drugs in one article, we'll hear about sanctuary cities in another, and nobody ever puts them together. And that's the travesty of all of this. This is all connected, and the total agreement of all of this is to take down America, to cut us down to size and make us like everybody else.
So let me ask you a question, and this is not the same question as what is the color of George Washington's white horse, but it may
still be right. Or who lives in Grant? Who's buried in Grant's tomb?
Yeah, but so here's my question for you: if Biden, God forbid, becomes the president, and if he implements a massive amnesty program, and think of all the media, why haven't you passed comprehensive immigration reform? I've given it two names, by the way. I call it the Terrorist Assistance and Facilitation Act. Jeff Sessions, when he was a senator from Alabama, quoted me from the floor of the Senate on three separate days during the floor debate back in 2006. And I say that because there's no way to interview these people. There's no capacity to conduct field investigations. So all the adjudicator will have to go on, remember, I did this job for a year, is the information that shows up on a computer screen. There'll be no way of doing it in their line. When people say, well, if they've been living here for the last 9 years and they haven't been arrested, how do you know how long they're here? If you run the border, there's no record of entry that's created. So you could get here last week and say you've been here for 15 years. How would that adjudicator know? And realize that if you're moving 25 million applications, you can't sit there ordering up investigations. You have to make a quick decision. And the easiest way to dispose of a case is to do what? Approve it, which brings us back to this guy, Alejandro Mayorkas, that Biden now wants to run DHS. But here's the bigger issue, and this is goes back to the question. How many aliens would get green cards if Biden legalized 25 million illegal aliens? If Biden legalizes 25 million illegal aliens, how many aliens will get green cards?
25
million. I want everyone out there to think of that question and think of the answer to that question.
I would think it would be 25 million because, and actually more. What about their families that they have been bringing in? What about the children that they have?
That's right. Bingo. So really, let's imagine on average, each alien has just four minor children. Some may have 10, some may have none. So let's be optimistic and say four each. They're not here yet. We legalized 25 million. Among them will be terrorists, criminals, and fugitives, okay? But beyond that, they each bring in an average of four children each, plus their spouses. But let's even forget about their spouses for the moment. You're looking, ladies and gentlemen, at a bare minimum. I've spoken to several of my friends who are expert in the field also. I've made lots of good friends along the way. No one's disagreeing. They think I'm an optimist. We're looking at 100 million minor immigrants within 1 to 2 years. 100 million. It would crush the schools.
Absolutely.
For all the talk about the environment, every person who comes here needs more than a pillow to sleep on. They need food, water, electricity, sewerage, transportation, healthcare. If they're minors, they're probably young enough, they have to go to school. The Congressional Budget Office did a study back in 2006 and found that it costs 20 to 40% more to educate kids who aren't English proficient. This would be the death for America. Not because of where, I don't care if they're from England. I don't care if they're from Israel. I don't care if they're from Japan or from, it doesn't matter. The numbers are the issue. It's not about the race. It's not about the, it's just the sheer numbers. If you try to put 1,000 people on an airplane, the airplane crashes because you've overloaded the airplane, you see? And that's what this would do. This would overwhelm every system in America. It would drive inflation through the roof, because there's going to be a huge demand for food and clothing and shelter. And that's why you have homelessness.
Absolutely.
You import lots of foreign workers. They depress wages. They displace Americans by numbers, because supply and demand is classic economics. If more people are chasing apartments or buildings, the price of housing goes through the roof. What does that lead to? Homelessness. What does that lead to? Children with bleak futures, because that's not the way for a child to grow up, homeless. Families are ripped apart. American families. There's over 500,000 kids right now today in foster care, but you're not going to hear that. You will see if some kids are taken away from what are claimed to be their parents at the border, but not necessarily, because we know lots of times the smugglers hook these kids up with people that are not their families, especially infants. 2 and 3 year old kids can't be interviewed. Who brought you here? We had an illegal alien with an extensive criminal history caught wading across the Rio Grande with a 6-month-old in his arms, and it turned out it wasn't his child, you see?
Another surprise.
That's what we're talking about.
Mike, give everyone where they can find you, because I want to make sure that people know where you are before we run out of time.
Okay, thank you. My website is michaelcutler.net, C-U-T-L-E-R, michaelcutler.net. I also write for Front Page Magazine, frontpagemag.com. I do podcasts for Dennis Michael Lynch at dmlnews.com, Team DML. And I do my own radio program, The Michael Cutler Hour, on Blog Talk Radio Friday evenings at the Michael Cutler Hour. So that's where I am, besides on the milk cartons.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. And folks, learn more about immigration. This is so important. And what Biden intends to do with his newly appointed DHS, Department of Homeland Security, is a surrender of America. We cannot allow that to happen. You're listening to Karen Schoen, and this is the prism of America's education.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, healthycell.com/sleep.
I was very pleased, and I wanted to know what your opinion was about Florida joining the lawsuit with Texas, which will be, I believe, the best lawsuit and best chance that we have to right this election. What did you think about that decision, Pastor Rick?
Well, I was fascinated that Texas filed the suit. I was real interested in the basis for the lawsuit, the rationale behind it. I'm not a lawyer, but I try to understand what I can of these kind of things, as I think all of us should, because we don't need to be ruled by elites that only understand the law. It needs to be understandable by the rest of us. So I was very interested in the way they approached that. And my first thought after I realized what they had done is, where's Florida? Why aren't we doing that? Why didn't we do that first? Well, come to find out, a bunch of states have joined that, including Florida. And I'm really glad to see that we're supporting it, because I think it makes a huge amount of difference. And I thought a couple of other things related to that. Not only was it a really good idea to approach it this way, but I liked that Texas went directly to the Supreme Court of the United States. Clearly, from the beginning, that was the intention. When states had grievances against one another, the idea was that the Supreme Court of the United States would handle that. And so it doesn't need to go through a lot of hoops to get there. It should just go to the Supreme Court and ask them to hear the case and then make a ruling. So I thought that was a very good step. The other thing that really stood out to me, and I thought, boy, this is where our civics education needs to kick in. And I think I understand this correctly. I'm sure you'll help me if I get something wrong. But originally, when we started this country, when we formed a federal government, it was the states, often referred to as sovereign states, because they were considered sovereign entities, and they joined together to form the Union. So they wrote the Constitution. They developed the system of the way the federal government would behave, its limits, its powers, and then the states agreed to that. They ratified that constitution, which then formed the federal government. So the federal government is really subservient to the will of the states. So I thought that was a really, really good way to go about this, because now we see sovereign states, Texas, Florida, and others, who are saying, hold on a minute. We all agreed when we formed this union, when we formed this federal government, we all agreed to play by the rules. And these are the rules. And you, and they named these four states, have not played by the rules. And we expect you to, and we come before the court to express our concern because your failure to play by the rules is having consequences to our people. And it's not right for you to go outside the rules and do things that we all agreed we wouldn't do. And now your behavior is having consequences to our people. And so they're asking the Supreme Court of the United States for redress of that grievance. And I thought that was absolutely insightful. We'll see where it goes. I'm not a legal scholar, but it is fascinating. There's no question about it.
Well, the sad part is that the Supreme Court is allowed to say, no, I don't want to take that case. However, as you pointed out, the Constitution is really our playbook. It is really our rule book. And it is something that every American citizen should know. Unfortunately, they don't. But it is the guidance that we all live by. And when we don't follow the rules, and when one group follows it one way and one group follows it another way, we have chaos, which is, of course, what the communists want. So this, to me, was the perfect example to show how our Constitution works. And I like to equate it with a little short story. I always told my kids when I was teaching that the Constitution is their playbook. So they should think of themselves like they were on a football team. And the coach comes out and he gives everybody the playbook. And then you go out on the field and the quarterback yells the play and everybody knows what to do. Well, this time the coach gave out a new playbook and the quarterback went out on the field and they started playing and the quarterback started yelling the plays and everybody did something different. How can you play the game? How can you know who will win and who will lose if everybody is playing different? And that's what is the Constitution. It is the same rule book for every American. And the problem that we have with communists is that they do not like the idea that everyone is created equal because that eliminates identity politics, which is what their whole modus operandi in government is all about. If I can't isolate you because of your color, if I can't isolate you because of your ethnicity, if I can't isolate you because of the way you look or something that you may have, then this is improper because to communists, everybody has to fit neatly in their little group, in their little box. And unfortunately, with the picks that Joe Biden, God forbid, would choose as our choice, as his choices to run our government in identity politics. And I can see that coming as sure as anything else. What do you think about identity politics, Pastor Rick?
Well, I think identity politics is ultimately divisive and it's not helpful. It just simply pits one American against another. And we should all be concerned about that. And I think you're really onto something when you say the Supreme Court might refuse to hear the case. And I think that's another clue that all Americans ought to pay attention to, because so much of what you're describing is about tactics to get power. Nothing more, nothing less. Whatever it takes to get power, some people are willing to do. And when Texas files a lawsuit like this, then that ought to get the attention of every American, because it really is out a united America and all Americans playing by the rules they agreed to. And so I'm really concerned that if the court doesn't take that lawsuit seriously or refuses to hear it or whatever, then to me, that just points to an ever-increasing politicization of the general and sadly the United States Supreme Court, because this is a serious, serious issue. Millions of Americans are absolutely outraged by what's going on and what has gone on, and the court needs to take that concern seriously. And when a place like Texas and other states advance a legitimate constitutional issue against another state, that's where the Supreme Court needs to step in. And if we have any hope of having future elections that are free and fair and honest, it's going to require forthright behavior on the part of our courts to require people to behave themselves according to the rule of law. And that's what we're talking about here. Will we follow the law, or will we pursue power by any means and at any cost?
And let's remember that every single time one of these people goes and takes office, they are pledging and taking an oath to follow the Constitution. So how can you take an oath to follow something and then trash it and say, I'm not following it? Remember, we are the United States with an S with a plural. We are not the United State. This was a conglomeration, just as Pastor Rick said, of, well, it was 13 colonies at that time coming together and saying, we will all follow the same law. We don't want to be like a monarchy where favoritism is the law, and then nobody knows what the law is. So let us keep that in mind, and we can call the Supreme Court office, talk to the clerk of the Supreme Court, and tell them we want the Supreme Court to take up this case. So that's one of the things that we as individuals can do. Because let us remember, every time an illegal vote occurs, it cancels a legal vote. Think about that. So the Texas lawsuit is exactly right when I say, well, what about me and what about my vote? I did it the right way. My vote would get canceled, and that is unacceptable. I wanted to move on to one last thing while we still have time, because we are going to be facing the Christmas holiday season, and just as always, the left will have a war on Christmas. We have to be careful about that, and we have to make sure that we stick up for our rights and we stick up for our values. And if we want to display, show, participate in anything that has to do with Christmas, we are still living in America and we still have the right to do that. Do not let anyone belittle you, make fun of you, or yell at you for your beliefs. That's the whole idea of America. And this story was about a woman that said, your Christmas lights trigger me. Well, isn't that too bad? Because what my answer to be with that would be your lack of consideration for your fellow Americans triggers me. So don't let that happen. What can people do as this war on Christmas will progress, Pastor Rick?
Well, I think you're right. People should not be intimidated. I think there were a few years there that the national narrative tended to intimidate people and make them hesitant. And I think you're exactly right. We need to encourage each other to be forthright about what we believe. We can be convinced of our beliefs and our perspective without shoving it down someone else's throat. And they can respect our beliefs while we disagree. That's fine. But we shouldn't be intimidated into silence. That's at the heart of freedom of conscience. And Americans need to realize that if we voluntarily give up these rights, it's the same as if somebody takes them away. So when you're coerced into remaining silent, when you're intimidated into withdrawing from a conversation, when you allow someone, because they're a bit of a bully, to overwhelm you, then it's the same effect of having a government take away your rights. So stand up, be proud, be forthright. You don't have to be arrogant or rude. Nobody wants to be that way. Nobody encourages anyone to be that way. But if you want to wish someone a Merry Christmas, go ahead. If they want to be upset, they can be upset. And remember, there's a difference between being offended and taking offense. And so many people are choosing to take offense just as a means of manipulating and controlling you. Don't let them get away with it.
Wow, that is really, really powerful. So we have to be, quote, armed and dangerous with our words also. And instead of, like I always say, don't make bold statements, ask them questions. Okay, I'm, you know, as a Jew, we did not celebrate Christmas. However, my friends did, and you know what? I enjoyed going to their homes and celebrating and participating and learning about their holidays and learning about their religion and incorporating it with mine so that I could see the evolution of religion and why belief in God is so important to all of us as moral people. We cannot allow an immoral group of people guide us, and we cannot allow them to take over our lives. We cannot allow them to write the rules. Let us remember there are more of us than them, and this election proved that. So let us use that to our advantage right now. Pay attention to what's in your school. That's very important. And pay attention to your children and your grandchildren. And instead of decreasing your religious time, increase it. Because that is the morality that holds America together. If we are not a moral people, then the laws and the rules that we make will not affect us. We will be pointed into evil instead of into good. And this is a season of good. Pastor Rick, would you like to close out the program with a prayer so that...
I'd be glad to. I think it's entirely appropriate because they tell us we can't pray sometimes.
Exactly. Well, we really... That's why I like to do this.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this time of year and for the courage it gives us to speak up about what we believe in and in whom we believe. And we want the world to know that we trust you, we have confidence in you, and we're going to faithfully follow you. Give your people the strength of their convictions so that they can speak a good word in season, and people will know that there is a God in heaven who cares about them, cares about the whole world, sent a Savior to rescue us and deliver us from evil. And for that, we are grateful. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all for listening. This is Karen Schoen and Pastor Rick, and we are wishing you all a very, very Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, and every other holiday that is celebrated during this wonderful time when it is so fabulous to be alive. We have a lot we have to think about that's going to be happening for the next year. But we must support ourselves, our families, and our country, and never lose sight of the fact that America is the best country in the world. There is no place else I'd rather be. And I hope that you will join me again next week. Thank you all for listening. But,